We rejoice at the grace that you gave us in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that our sins have been washed away, that we're a new creature, Father, because of Jesus. And Lord, this morning we thank you so much for the grace and promises that you've given to us, Father. We declare we have great lives, Father. We have the best life because our Father God ensures it. Father, we thank you so much for this place, and we glorify you here today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. He's so good, isn't he?
Amen.
I love that song, Amazing Grace. Aren't you thankful for grace that saved you? Grace that set you free. Praise the Lord. Not shaved you. I do that myself. Grace that saves us. Hallelujah. Well, I just want to say one more time, and it bears repeating because it's an important thing. You know, Jesus, if something was important, he said it more than one time. And I'm going to say it again. I'm thankful to be here today, and I'm thankful to your pastors for the opportunity to be here. I don't call it a small thing to fill any of the family church pulpits because I know that they're safe places, and I'm just excited to preach the word this morning. The word's our answer. Amen. It's our help. Praise the Lord. And I want to encourage you, if you're new here, I don't know every face, but if you are new here or if not, either way, come back next week and hear Pastor Michael, and then come back the week after that and hear Pastor Mike. I mean, just keep coming, right? Did you see what we did there? We'll just keep coming there. Praise the Lord. That's our help is here. Our answers are here. Praise the Lord. Well, what I want to talk about today is something that's very important to me. It's about being found faithful. Being found faithful in life. You know, there's a whole lot to it. And I actually, as I was preparing this message, the Lord kind of took it in a different direction than what I usually minister on when I talk about faithfulness. Faithfulness is important to me. It should be important to all of us because as Christians, we're called to be faithful. We're called to be servants. We're called to be people of excellence. And so it's important that when we fulfill that role, we do it well. You know, what he's called us to do, that we do it to the best of our abilities. So it's something I enjoy, but the way we're going to talk about it today is just a little bit different. But I believe it'll be a help to us. You know, maybe at times it might seem a bit toe-stepping. Did you ever hear that before? But, you know, I certainly don't intend to hurt anybody. You know that. Nobody ever does when they preach the gospel from a family church pulpit, that's for sure. We just want to see people helped. And I was helped as I was doing this. God was stepping on my toes. So I'm just going to go ahead and step on yours because he stepped on mine. I'm just going to pass it along, all right? Go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll pray as you're turning. Father, we thank you. Father, for this service, we thank you, Lord, for the word that it's a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. Lord, this morning, this isn't my service, Father, it's yours. So whatever you want said, may that and that only be what's said here today. Whatever you want done, may that be done today, Father. We thank you, Lord, for helping us, growing us, Father, challenging us, correcting us, whatever you want us to do to become more like Jesus, to be changed by glory to glory to the image of him. That's our goal this morning, Father. We rejoice to be called your children, and we love you so much. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 2, this is kind of the golden scripture for faithfulness, but it says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In verse 3, but with me it's a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment, yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have the praise of God. Isn't it our goal in life to have the praise of God?
Amen.
Right? Whatever we put our hand to, you know, in the Gospels where they share, they tell the story of the parable of 10 talents, that these people were given these 10 talents and they had to go out and do something with them. And the ones that caused them to reproduce to be a blessing to their master, the master said to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Our goal as Christians, as believers, the way Paul says it here, as stewards is just someone that's a manager. We're managers of the gospel, right? We take the gospel, we have it, it was given to us, this gift that was given to us, we take that and we share it with other people. And so if we're stewards of that, he says here, in order to get that praise of God, the well done, thou good and faithful servant, there's something we have to be. We have to be faithful. We have to be counted faithful. But what he shows us here in these scriptures, and this is what I saw as I was studying it out, and maybe you knew this, but it was new to me. I'm not saying it's new. I'm not bringing new doctrine out, praise the Lord. This is things we know. There's principles in here. But when I used to read this and think, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I used to think that that was the end of it. Okay, so as Christians, our job is to be faithful. Good, I can do that. I can show up. I can do what I'm supposed to do. I can do it well. But he puts it at a higher level than that. We can't just leave it at that. And if you study this out in verse 2 where it says, moreover, it is required. In the Greek, I looked up some different translations. And that actually translates more to say, moreover, here on earth, this is the requirement for stewards. So what he's saying is that this is the world's requirement for people that serve. The world's requirement is that you be found faithful. The world's requirement, what does that mean? Trustworthy. That we show up to do our jobs, right? And we know that to be true. In the workplace, if you don't show up, you're probably not going to do too well, right? In school, if you don't show up, you're not going to excel. And eventually, you'll be behind, and then you'll be even more behind. And then eventually, you'll be so behind that you're way behind, you know? How that makes sense to you. But he's saying here, this is the basic requirement. This is the earthly standard for people that serve, is to just show up, is to just be dependable, right? So as Christians, we ought to take that and say, okay, if that's the earthly standard, that's my baseline, right? That's where I need to start at. And we need to sometimes be reminded of that, because there's a whole lot of Christians out there who don't necessarily live by that standard, right? They go on and they say, Jesus is my Lord, and they show up 20 minutes late. Or they say, Jesus is my Lord, and they're the first ones in the lunchroom gossiping about everybody else in the workplace. Right? They don't live to that base standard of being found faithful, of showing up, of being dependable, being someone that others can count on, of being a person of their word, of integrity, of excellence. That's the base requirement for us as Christians. And what we see here, as we go down in verses 3 to 5, now I know there's a whole lot of King James here, but in verse 5, what it's saying here will make manifest the counsels of the heart. So what he's saying is the way we're entrusted to a higher level of faithfulness. We ought to do more than just show up someplace. How do we know if we're living up to that standard? Our heart will tell us. Paul says here, you know in your heart, if you're at your workplace or your school or whatever the job might be, whatever the task is that you're doing, and you go to put your hand to it, and you're meeting the requirements that they had of you. You're meeting the base requirements, whatever those might be. That may be great, you're doing good as far as they're concerned, but you know in your heart if you're doing the best that you can do. God's called us to be the best at everything that we put our hand to. No matter what it is, in the workplace, in relationships, in our home, with our vehicles, he's called us to be the best that we can be with them. The Christian's vehicle ought to look better than anybody else's. I'm not saying be nicer or more expensive. I'm saying look better. I'm saying if I have a car that's 20 years old, that better be the nicest 20-year-old car in town as far as condition is in it, right? If I go in, I don't want to have a trash heap in there. Now, this is the thing. We just need to renew our minds to these things, right? We are called to a higher level of excellence than the world is. And if we want to walk in the blessings that God has for us, then we've got to live at that level. And it's not that God's saying, I won't love you unless you're here. He loves us regardless. But he's got more for us if we'll live at a higher standard. And so this is a challenge to all of us, a challenge to me. There's areas I know that I can work on, of course, that I need to increase my ability in that. But we know in our hearts if we're giving our all at something, right? We know in our hearts if we've done the absolute best that we can do. At the end of the day, we lay down our head and said, I did my best today. Your heart will smite you if you're not, because God says you can do better than that. He's given us the ability to do better than that. So why wouldn't we? Amen? And it's not just for our own admonition, it's not just for our own selves that we do these things, that we live at a higher standard. The world needs us to, because they need to know that we have something that they don't have. If God's graced us to live at a higher place than the world has, then we ought to be living at that higher place than the world is, because otherwise, they're going to have nothing. There's no light shining under a basket for them to want. There's no gift of God on us if we're not living in the fullness of what he has for us. Amen? So we're going to see different ways that we can prove out our faithfulness, that we can prove out, and then when we stand before the Lord, we'll go before him and he'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That ought to be our heart's desire. And please understand, you know, I know there's different ranges, of course, of faith. It's a Sunday morning, but we've got to be at a place where we don't view these things as legalistic or ritualistic or anything like that. This is a challenge from God for us, and we're graced and equipped to rise up to it. And so we'll live at a higher place because of it. The term faithful, it literally means, this is incredible, hold on to your seats, to be full of faith. Wow! I didn't even have to look that up in the Greek or anything like that. That's just the word faithful, to be full of faith. So how does that apply to us? Well, wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we're putting our hand to do, we bring our faith to the table. That we say, I'm a believer, I have Jesus inside of me, and so I'm going to do this in a way that pleases Him. I'm going to act in a way that glorifies Him. Faithfulness means just showing up somewhere with a supply of faith. You know, when I go into the workplace, show up with a supply of faith to do your job. It's the faith isn't just for you. It's not just your own little present you keep wrapped under a tree and said, that's mine. You can't see it. You can't touch it. Let your faith be an example to others. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It'll cause others to walk into the light of God that He has for them when you shine yours. Hebrews 11:6, if you can put that up. You don't have to turn there. But we know this. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to please God. Think about that. The only way, the Bible says, the only way that we can please God is to bring our faith to the plate, to be faithful, to be filled with faith. That doesn't mean that He doesn't love us if we're not bringing faith to the plate. It means that if you have kids, who has kids? Maybe you have kids, maybe you don't have kids, maybe you've interacted with kids, maybe you've seen a kid. I'm sure everybody qualifies for at least something in there, right? You know that sometimes you might love that child with all your heart. Maybe not the kids you see, but if you have, we'll go back to the first one. You might love that child with all your heart, but they may not act in a way that's pleasing to you, right? It's truth. It's the same way with us and our Father. He loves us with an unconditional, passionate love, but we might not always be pleasing to Him. The only way that we can be pleasing to Him is by bringing faith, by being faithful. So we're going to see today how to be faithful. There's two areas that I want to look at. The first one is faithfulness in worship. And the second is faithfulness in serving Him. So go ahead and turn to Revelation chapter 2. And we're going to talk about the Antichrist and end times. Just kidding. We're going to talk about faithfulness. I'll leave the Antichrist and end times for your pastor. Revelation 2 and verse 1. The first three chapters of the book of Revelation are actually written to the church. Not necessarily regarding the end times, but they're letters just like the epistles are. And there's things in here, there's principles that we can take from these to improve our lives and make them look more like Jesus. And that's our goal, isn't it? To be transformed into the image of Him. Revelation 2:1 says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know your works and your labor and your patience, how you cannot bear them which are evil, and you've tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and have borne and have patience, and for my name's sake have labored, and have not fainted. So in these two verses here, Jesus is talking to the Ephesians, and He's saying, you're doing all the things you're supposed to be doing. You are showing up to church, you're sitting in the seats, you're serving in the nursery, you're helping clean up after fellowship, you're giving money to the widows, helping the orphans, all the things that the church should be doing, right? He's saying that Jesus is saying this. And so at this point, if I'm Ephesus, if I'm the church, I'm feeling pretty good, right? Because here Jesus is saying, you've done everything. You've done all the things you're doing. Yeah, I have, haven't I, Jesus? I did do that, Lord. You're right. You got me. I'm here. Yeah, you're right. But Jesus didn't stop there, did He? No, He kept going. And at this time, the Ephesus church is probably thinking, Lord, stop. No. Just go back to where we were. Go back to what you were saying there. But Jesus went on and He said something else to him. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. The Amplified Version says, I have this one charge to make against you. Let's never put ourselves in a position that the Lord has a charge to make against us. That we ought to always be walking before Him with clear conscience. We walk before Him knowing, and how do we do that? Just like Paul said there in 1 Corinthians, following our conscience, following our heart. He'll tell us when we've gone too far. And you know, as soon as you've been saved, you get that little, that's not quite, And then you try and overdo it and think, well, if I just go past it, then I won't hear it anymore. You know, it's not a line that you cross, it's a zone that you enter, right? And when you've gone into the place of past where God told you to go, the feeling doesn't go away. It gets more amplified. And so you try and drown it out with other things, with media, with friendship, maybe with alcohol, with addictions. And you try and drown that out, but you're in the zone of sin. You're in the zone of where we're not in the faithfulness zone at that point. It's not a line we cross, it's a place we go into, and we have to step back from that into where He wants us to be. And that's what he's saying to Ephesus here. Listen, you guys did everything you were supposed to do. You showed up to church. You did all the works for it. But you forgot about one thing. You forgot about me. Yeah. If we're not doing this for him, why are we doing it? Yeah, what's the point? There's religions all throughout history that they left their first love. Jesus wasn't talking about his high school sweetheart. He wasn't talking about Ephesus' prom date. He was talking about himself. He was talking about the Lord. They stopped attaching faith to their worship. Every time we come to worship the Lord, whether it's publicly, privately, wherever we are, we bring our faith to the plate with us when we go. That's what ensures that we're going before him, not out of routine or habit. You know, I have habits, right? I have routines. I get up in the morning. I drink a cup of coffee. I sit there and I got my morning routine. Everybody has one, right? If church becomes the same as that, what's the point in it? If my time with God becomes the same as me reading a newspaper article, why? Why do it at that point? We've forgotten our first love. All throughout history, this has happened. The Old Testament, it happened to them, the Israelites. They forgot their first love because he brought them out of Egypt. And then they were out of Egypt and they said, okay, this is good. This is good, Lord. You go on from here. We've got this. And so the time came to go into the promised land and they weren't with him when they went in because they forgot their first love. We see it here in the New Testament in the church of Ephesus. You know, one time from modern church history, how many know John Wesley? I don't know if you've ever heard that name before. He founded a denomination, very popular denomination today. And in his time, John Wesley, it was the early 18th century, and he was a minister in England, and he came to America in the early 18th century, and he spent some time in Savannah, Georgia. And while he was there, he had what he called, and I'm not quoting directly, but he called it an encounter with God. It was what we call being born again. If you study his ministry, you can see that the life of God came into him after that point. And at that point in history, salvation wasn't preached like it is today. You know, a lot of folks know what it means to be born again today. Back then, they had no idea. The Church of England ran things, and they didn't teach anything about being born again. They taught about buying your way into heaven. Well, that's not right either, praise the Lord. And so at this point, John Wesley gets saved. He gets born again. He gets the fire of God in his bosom, and he wants to go tell other people about his Jesus. So he gets back to England after 2 years in America, and he starts preaching the gospel. Well, the gospel wasn't necessarily welcomed in England at that time. So he got kicked out of his church that he was at. So instead of going home, feeling sad, feeling lonely for himself, and saying, well, Lord, you got me saved, and now nobody wants to hear me talk. Instead of having that lousy attitude, he got up on his father's gravestone, and he preached the gospel from his father's gravestone in the church cemetery. And thousands of people in England got saved because he brought faith to the plate. Now, that's an incredible way to start a denomination, right? You'd think a denomination started with that kind of faith and fire would be fervent forever. But something happened along the line, and today, almost 300 years later, that denomination is having conferences to determine whether or not to allow their ministers to be gay. Right. And in this next election, we got to pray for them for wisdom because it seems kind of like they're leaning in that direction. What happened to that faith and fire? They lost it. They lost their first love at some point along that line. And you trace it out, denominations all throughout history. That's why we call ourselves non-denominational. We are children of God. That's what it is. And even some folks try and make non-denominational a denomination. No, I serve God. God is my Father, I'm a child of Him, and whatever His Bible says, that's what I'm going to do. That's where we got to live, and that's how we keep the faith and the fire in it. You know, Pentecostalism. Charismatic movements, all these things that started in the 20th century that led us to the revelation that we walk in today, a lot of them aren't following God now. Not the Spirit of God. They're still doing the repetitions. They're doing the same things they did when they worked. Listen, when something stops working, you move on with God, right? Go with Him. When Israel was being led through the wilderness by the pillar of fire, by the pillar of smoke, God didn't stay in one place. He was leading them through the wilderness. And if we're going to stay full of fire, if we're going to stay on fire for Him and stay full of faith like Paul commanded us to do, like the Holy Ghost commanded us to do, then we've got to be willing that wherever He wants to take us, we'll go. Maybe things will be different. Maybe it's not going to be what we're used to. Hold on. I think God knows what He's doing. Amen. If we're going to stay faithful, we'll get to the other side of everything that we go through. But we show up to church with faith. Show up to your times of worship with faith. When you come to church on a Sunday morning, my goodness, don't make it like work. Don't make it like an appointment that you have to go. Church is not an appointment with a doctor. Church is when you come to hear from heaven and open your mail that Jesus Christ Himself got for you. Amen. Come here with an attached faith to it and say, I'm going to hear from heaven today. God's going to talk to me. I'm going to be helped. I'm going to be more like Jesus after this morning. Never get to a point where you think you've arrived, because we haven't. At that point, we stop being faithful in what we're doing. And then we're not going to be able to stand before the Lord. Never fall back. Never wane. Never lean back on what you know. Keep moving on with Him. Go on with God. Corinthians or Romans says to be transformed more and more into the image of Christ. As far as I know, none of us look like Jesus. And I'm not talking the beard. I'm saying spiritually. I don't wake up in the morning, I got stuff, right? Everybody's got stuff. None of us are Jesus. And so as long as we can be transformed more into the image of Him, we ought to bring faith with us when we go to church, because we've got more that we can get into. But don't just bring it for yourself either. Bring it for others that come here. Say, my pastor is going to preach fire today. He's going to have a message from heaven that's going to help other people too. You know, the miraculous things that have been spoken over your pastor and his ministry and what it looks like now, what it's going to continue to grow into, release faith that those things come to pass, that the people that need healing come into his services and they see supernatural miracles here. Release faith on your way to church. And you say, well, I don't have time to do all that. Let me ask you a question. Do you have time to go to the bathroom? Does everybody have time? I dare say all of us do, right? Everybody at some point in their day, they make an appointment with that mighty throne. And they say, I'm going to go and I'm going to sit down. I'm going to boldly approach that throne, right? And they get before it. In that time, you know, Lester Sumrall, that mighty man of faith, he wrote books on the throne. Not the throne of God either. He wrote books on the other throne. If he can do it, we can do it, right? Everybody's got to do that at some point in their day. If that's the point that you say, Lord, I'm just going to release faith for what you want this morning. Thank you, Lord, that everything that needs to happen in that service comes to pass. People are helped. Miracles take place. That's all it takes. Bring your faith to the table. Why do we need to do this? So that church doesn't become repetition. So that church doesn't become routine. We're not just here to check off a list so that we can go to heaven and God says, good job. We're here to be a light to the world. We're here to help people. And if we want to come here and receive everything God has for us, that's the ticket to do it. But not just publicly, we've got to do it privately as well. You know, we've all been in the Fredonia Church. We're reading through the Bible in a year. And, you know, there may be days where I may be busy. I work 2 full-time jobs. I got stuff going on, right? But I get in my Bible, and I go to read, and I'll read the whole assignment for that day, and I'll cross it off. And then I sit back and I think, what did I just read? Had no idea. Why? I wasn't bringing my faith to the plate. I was doing the actions. If you're not going to bring faith when you get into your devotion time, you might as well just read Reader's Digest. It's going to have the same effect for you. When you get in worship before the Lord in service, you know, Brother Hagin used to say, if you're not going to bring faith to it, he didn't say it just like that, I'm paraphrasing, but if you're not going to bring faith to it, you might as well get up and sing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. It's going to have just as much. No, when you sing those words, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Just attach your faith to that in the time of worship. When you get before the Lord privately. When you go to do your tithes and offerings. Right? I've been there. We've all been there. I'm just going to tell you about myself. And hopefully none of you line up with the things that I've done in my past. I dare say I'm not the only non-perfect one here. But I'm not pointing any fingers this morning. Step back at me. We've all been there where you've got your budgets. I do the monies in our house. And I go through and I sit down and I start going through the money. And I'll say, okay, here's the tithe, write that check. Here's the National Grid, write that check. National Fuel, write that check. And then go down, and I realize I wrote my tithe, and I didn't attach any faith to it. All it was at that point was a bill. The tithe is not a bill. It's an act of love. But it's only an act of love that God can bless if we attach faith to it. When we go before Him in our offerings, when we sit down, we've got a building fund going on this weekend. You know, I gave into that building fund. This isn't my church, but it's a family church. It's a church of God that reaches people. I want to see it blessed. I said, Lord, I thank you for an opportunity to give into this ground, to give into this church building, that people will be helped and blessed by it. If you want your seed to produce harvest, you've got to attach faith to it. If what we're doing isn't faithful, then we're not going to have the fruit of what God has called us to do. Amen? So that's faithfulness in worship. The other part I want to look at is faithfulness when it comes to serving. And this is the one the first one's so important, probably more important than this one, because if what we do to worship the Lord becomes just vain repetition, God can't bless it. And He's not here with us. You know, growing up, I was in a denomination that we had to go through First Communion. Now you know what denomination it was. I was trying to be all quiet about it, but I can't, you know. So I had to go through this First Communion class. And in order to qualify to take communion, Think about this for a second. To qualify to take communion. The only qualification to take communion is to be a child of God. That's the only thing. According to the Bible. But what happens when you lose faith in following Him? You start to fill it in with your own traditions. I don't usually do movie references. I think I say that every time and then I do a movie reference. But, all right, how many have ever seen Jurassic Park, right? Yeah. One of my all-time favorite movies. If you haven't seen it, I'm not going to recommend or not recommend any movie from the pulpit. But I like it. It's a good movie. I enjoy it. I like the action in it. It was my childhood growing up. I love dinosaurs. So, but in that movie, they cloned dinosaurs, right? They made these dinosaurs from clone. And they had to go along and they had to, at points in what they called the DNA, that's not what they called, it's real DNA, but they had to fill that in with different gaps that were in there with other DNA from other reptiles because they didn't have the full recipe to make the dinosaurs, okay? All right, we're going to get away from the movie resume. Let's go to something else, right? One time, just work with me here. One time I went to make pancakes. Everybody likes pancakes. All right, we're going to get on a page that everybody knows. I went to go make pancakes, and I got all the stuff in the bowl. I got the flour, I got the sugar, I got the salt. I'm going through, I've got everything in there, and then I go to get an egg. Oh, we're out of eggs. I can't make pancakes without eggs. So I go to my trusty Google, and I say, Google, what can I substitute for eggs? And it says, some junk like a banana. And I think, banana? So I put a banana in those pancakes. You know what? It was not a pancake. It was posing as a pancake. There are whole churches out there posing as churches because they've substituted the right ingredients. The ingredients that God has for us are here in the Word of God. And that's to attach our faith, to come expecting to hear from Him every time that we go to stand before Him. And it's so important. That's why I say faithfulness and worship is the most important area, because if we lose that, then serving doesn't matter. That's what he's saying to the Ephesus church. Listen, you served, you did everything you were supposed to do, but you didn't attach faith to your worship in me, and now there's nothing. He rebuked them for it. Well, we don't want to be in a place that we get rebuked by him, and so we want to make sure we're doing those things. So, amen. This other area, though, faithfulness and serving, go ahead and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3. The word's our answer. Amen. It's got help for us. Praise the Lord. And just to finish up the story, they had to fill in the DNA recipe with other animals' DNA, and so the dinosaurs were messed up. All right, there you go. That's the whole thing. All right. The pancakes made more sense, didn't they? Aren't you thankful for the Holy Ghost? See, the Jurassic Park was me. The pancakes were the Holy Ghost. That's why we need God. Praise the Lord. We'll go ahead and edit that piece out of live stream. Colossians chapter 3. When it comes to serving, faithfulness doesn't just mean showing up to do something. When you're here to serve in the church and you come to serve a nursery, you come to serve an usher capacity, whatever it is that you've been chosen to serve for that day, and it's an honor to serve, right? It's an honor to serve in the church, to be able to give back to the one that gave to us so much. But when we do, it doesn't just mean showing up to do it. It means bringing a supply of faith when we do. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not to men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Verse 23, I actually have that printed out at work, and it's been next to my desk for years now, because it's a constant reminder to me that everything that I'm doing there, because we don't just serve in the church, we serve at work, we serve at home. Jesus said, the greatest among you shall be servants of all. It means wherever we go, we're a servant. Whatever we do, when we're in the supermarket, you're a servant, right? What does that mean? Maybe you reach up, get the item off the tall shelf for somebody. I have an anointing for that. Maybe you've got somebody else in this church that's not here today that might be able to get some off the bottom shelf for somebody. I'm sorry. Oh, Pastor Courtney, how much do I have to pay you not to tell him I said that? No, I love your pastor. And I look up to him spiritually, all right? But wherever we go, driving down the road, right? You're driving down the road. You think, what am I going to do serving other people driving down the road? How about, can I say, don't be a jerk, right? Yeah. Be a good driver. Be kind to other people. Don't be the one that's got the Jesus bumper sticker on the back of the car, up behind him, honking their horn, waving the number one symbol to him as you drive by, yeah. Right? That's not bringing faith to the plate. That's not being a servant in that capacity. Whatever we do, bring faith to it while we do it. That will help us to be an example to other people. He told us to be servants of all. So just have that mindset. In the home, be a servant. Men, don't walk around the home saying, "Wife, serve me." Wives, don't walk around the home saying, "Husband, serve me." Right? I just say the same. That way nobody thinks I'm picking on anybody. Right? We're the same on both there. Wherever we go, be a servant. Do what you can do to help the other person in every capacity. But in this verse here, verse 23, where it says, "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not to men." That word heartily, it doesn't just mean like we know in English where do it well or do it, you know, give it your all. That's true too. But it means to do it from your heart. What's in your heart? Your spirit. That's where God is. And that's what I was saying before, that God will tell us in our hearts if we're doing the best that we can do. He'll tell us in our hearts if we're really giving it our all. We may be checking off the requirement list, and that's good. If you got to rise to that point, rise to it, right? Get to that point where you're at least checking off the minimum requirements. But know that God's called you to more than that. And you can be at that level by following the inward witness, by serving heartily. And you may say, "Well, my boss is the furthest thing from Jesus." Welcome to the club, right? And I'm not talking the church. I'm the other job, all right? Let's just get that clear. I work at a place too. I work in the world just like I work in the church. And that man, I love him and I honor him, but he may not be just like Jesus. I don't even think he's born again, right? There are times that we're called to serve someone who's not saved. There's times we're called to serve someone that's not necessarily going to think in line with everything that we do. Is that our opportunity to stamp our feet and say, "No, I don't want to do this"? No, that's when we rise up and we say, "You know what, Lord? I'm going to serve him as if he were you." If we want to be blessed, if we want to be pleasing to him, that ought to be our heart's desire. You know, when you're there, treat your job as though it's Jesus signing your paycheck. That when that check comes to you at the end of the week, there's a name on it, and that name says Jesus Christ. It may not say Jesus Christ, but treat it as though it did. Treat that job, everything that you go to do at your workplace, everything that you go to do at school, or whatever it is that you're doing, do that as if you were doing it for Jesus Christ himself. You know, Pastor Michael used to share this story. He still does share it. When he was associate minister at the Fredonia Church, associate pastor, he would clean the bathrooms. And that's a great and honorable ministry to be in. Everybody needs to use the throne. So what an honor to get to clean it for everybody else to get to use. Amen? Amen. Well, it was quieter on that one than it was when I said you're going to be blessed. It's a blessing to serve, folks. It's a blessing to serve. It's an honor to serve. You get to be a blessing to other people, to give back to your Lord. But he would get before this toilet. He'd get before the throne. He'd get on his knees before it, getting ready to clean it. And he'd say, "Jesus, I'm doing this for you. I'm going to clean this toilet as if you yourself were going to be using it." When we bring the faith to the plate, what happened? He was promoted, right? He was brought to a higher place in God because he brought faith into his serving. He was a faithful servant. You can clean. How many ever been there? There's a time to come and you got to serve in the church in some way, shape, or form. And you sit there, "I don't want to do this. I don't. You know, maybe ushering, you know. There'd be times that I'd be ushering and I'd maybe have to not be in the service. And I'd be sitting out there and I'd say, "I want to get hands laid on me. Right? Why can't he? Doesn't he know? Doesn't he know who I am? Doesn't he know that I need Jesus just as much as everybody else here does?" I lost out on all the blessing. I wasn't bringing faithfulness to the plate. I was bringing me. And that's not much. When we bring faithfulness to the plate, when we say, "No, I'm going to usher as if Jesus himself were ministering the word this morning. I'm going to usher as if I was catching Jesus." Whatever job you have, take care of those babies as if there were a bunch of little baby Jesuses running around, right? Bring your A game every time you go, because that, as we see in verse 24, is the key to receiving the reward that God has for us from serving. There's folks in the church that have been there for 20, 30 years that still don't walk in any higher level of reward than they did when they first started. They're doing all the things, but they're not bringing any faith to it. They're checking it off the list. They got a lousy attitude about it. If you're going to have a lousy attitude in serving, get out, let somebody in there that believes God, because then they'll get promoted. God's got more things for us. Praise the Lord. This attitude opens the door for us for increase. You know, at your job, I have a saying. I don't say this, but there is a saying. I should say it that way. There is a saying that when I hear it out of people's mouths, I want absolutely nothing to do with them in the workplace from that point forward, except to give them a hug and tell them Jesus loves them. And even then, that's a stretch, right? If I hear the words, "That's not my job," out of someone's mouth, I'm done. I'm done. Why? If we want to be promoted, If we want to be pleasing to the Lord, we can never have the attitude of, not my job. We can never have the attitude of, nope, I'm good. You know what, my job where I work, I'm the manager. I run the place, technically speaking. I don't sign the paychecks. It's not my name on the bank account. But I do all the work in the middle ground, and then I tell them what's going on. I'm also the one that's in the bathrooms changing out the soap and the toilet paper. I'm also the one out front shoveling. Not every time. There's others that also do it. But why? Willing to do whatever, right? Willing to do whatever needs to be done. And I don't say this to boast on myself. I just say this because these are the principles in the Word. I've put them into practice, and I've seen it work. You know, I haven't had a lot of jobs. I've had 3 long-term jobs, I guess you could say. But every place that I've ever been at that I've worked, within the first 3 months of being there, I was promoted. 3 months. 3 months. That's not me. I just did what God said. I just served Him heartily. I just said, okay, I'm here for you. I'm going to serve you like I would the Lord. Being in work and being at the church, we should not be 2 different people. We should have the same attitude. What can I do? How can I help? Jesus Christ Himself came to earth and became a servant for us. It says that in Mark 10. If He can serve, how much more can we serve? We want to qualify for that increase. Amen? You know, there's folks, and I'm not trying to be graphic or anything like that, but you know, when a baby's born, that baby nurses, right? And it's how the baby gets nourishment. That's how the baby grows, and that's great. But if you see a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old that's still nursing, might be some problems, right? How about a 25-year-old that's still nursing? Yeah, you're thinking that's wrong. How many 25-year-old Christians are in the church still nursing, still just coming to suck in, just receive? My babies, when they were babies, they didn't bring anything back to us. They were cute. That's about all they did, right? And thank God for it, because if God had to make babies adorable, because they are so much work, right? He had to make them the most adorable little things in the world, so anything they do, you still love them at the end of the day. That's how God feels about us. He still loves us at the end of the day. But let's get to a point. You know, now my 6-year-old, just this morning, I had him do some of the trash jobs in the house. Not trash, like trashy jobs, the literal trash, right? I had him empty some of the trash. I had him do that. Why? Because he's contributing back to the house. Our job as Christians, he's 6. I don't know about you, I've been saved longer than 6 years. I ought to be bringing more back to the church than what I'm receiving from it. Church is our place to receive, but it's also our place to give back. Let's not just be milking for the rest of our lives. He's called us to more. We bring faithfulness to the plate so that we can be promoted, be increased, and be blessed with the rewards that He says there in verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. We want to qualify for that reward, don't we? Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful man shall abound with blessing. So many times we want the abundance. Oh, Pastor Scott, tell me about that abundance. I want that abundance. You talk about that life and life abundantly. My Jesus got that for me. Can you help us serve over here? No, I'm good. Ain't going to be no abundance, right? If we want to qualify for it, then we've got to qualify ourselves for it. Be found faithful. Do our job. Show up to it well. We'll close with this, Genesis 39. Go ahead and turn there. We're going to see an example of it in the Scriptures. Genesis 39. And I love, this is the Testament of Joseph. This is one of my favorite parts in the Bible. I love the whole Bible. It's all good. Amen. But I enjoy this story. Genesis 39. Now, if you don't know, Joseph was the... You have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Joseph was the son of Jacob. He was one of the original 12 tribes of Israel. And he had 11 brothers at that time there. And his brothers, you know, Joseph, he was called of God. And it's good to be called of God, right? He was faithful to God. He served the Lord. But Joseph also had a little problem in that he liked Joseph a little too much. He was a little bit full of himself. Well, pride and God are at opposing sides. We're in pride, we can't be promoted. And God needed Joseph to be promoted. And so as long as that pride was there, God couldn't do anything with him. He says, here's this thing, it looks great, I can't really do anything with it right now. I need to, that stuff on the outside needs to shake off so that I can get what's inside and use that for me. That's the Lord. But, so Joseph in this case, he likes himself a little much. So what happens is God's called him, and he gives him a dream. And in this dream, Joseph interprets the dream by the gift of God. And in this dream, basically, his brothers come up before him and they all bow down to him. So Joseph interprets this accurately as though he's going to one day rule over his brothers. Well, instead of Mary in the New Testament, who was full of humility, and when the Lord spoke to her, she pondered those things to herself, Joseph went before his brothers and said, "You're all going to bow to me one day." Now, needless to say, his brothers didn't appreciate their baby brother coming up and saying, "One day I'm going to be Lord over you." And they did like any good brother would do. They sold him into slavery. I said this last night, Nolan, doesn't it make your family stuff seem a whole lot less nasty, right? I don't know anybody whose siblings have sold them into slavery, right? They may not talk for a while. That's not the love of God. But being sold into slavery, that's a whole other thing. But when that happened, Joseph had an opportunity to get offended, didn't he? He had an opportunity to get offended at God. Say, "God, you gave me that dream." But he didn't have that attitude. What he went into next, and we're going to see this, he still served God faithfully. He still brought faith to the plate to bring his A game before the Lord, that whatever he put his hand to do, he brought it and he did it heartily. You know, at my job, and I don't mean to keep, please know, I don't keep giving examples of myself because I think I'm any high thing. I just want you to see how these principles work. And I've put them into practice. There was a time a few years ago we didn't have benefits at work. There were no health insurance or anything like that. And we hired a new person, and this person was what I like to call shiny. You know, they were impressive. They brought, "Ooh, look what they can do. Let's cut everybody's salary to give them the best salary." You know, I mean, one of those sort of situations. So they brought this guy in. And he did. He brought a lot to the plate, but it also turned out all to be lies. But anyways, I wasn't the one hiring at that time. But one thing that they gave to him when he came in is he said, "I need health insurance." And so this new guy comes in and they give him health insurance. I've been there 5 years at this point. I've got two kids at home and I don't have health insurance. And how many of your thoughts come, right? A lot of times in that time, call the union. Do you know how long I've been here and how I haven't had health insurance? Do you know what I've been through? I didn't go to my boss's office. I didn't march before him. I did not say one word to anybody. A couple of friends, I just said, "Oh, yeah, this happened." And I laughed it off because what am I going to do? If I'm going to upset over it, then I'm not going to see the fruit of God in the matter. I want what God has for me. So I just said, "Lord, you know, you see it. You see it. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing and just trust you." Amen. 3 months later, they came to me and they said, "You know what? We gave him health insurance and we didn't give it to you. That was wrong. We're not only going to pay for you to have it, but we're going to give you a raise at the same time." That would not have happened if I had had a lousy attitude about it. It wouldn't have happened. Because I would have gone before him and he would have said, "Fine, go. We'll replace you." Right? We go before him, you know, so many times. I don't want to say that. I just have a personal thing. Now, there's two sides to this story. All right? There's two sides here. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Right? So there's times at a place of employment where maybe you've been there a long time. You follow the inward witness in every circumstance in life. He'll always lead you into more. I've never asked for a raise in any job that I've been at. I don't ask for them. Why? They come to me because I'm faithful, right? Amen. There was one time that we were negotiating salary, and I said, "Well, you know, I'm doing what they did. If you'd like to put me at that, I'd be happy with it, but I'll be here either way." And they did end up giving me the raise in that situation. But that's as close to I've ever come as asking for a raise. But I know folks that are out there that after a few months, after a year on the job, they go before and say, "I want a raise. I'm valuable. Look at me. Look at what I bring to the plate." What did Proverbs say? I had it written down here, and it just left me. We're going to go to it. Stay with me. Don't unhook. "A faithful man shall abound with blessing, but he that makes haste to be rich shall not be innocent." You might get the raise in that situation, but you're not going to get the blessing of the Lord. Now, there's times that he might lead you to ask for something. If he does, follow that witness and go for it. But bless God, don't go in there all high and mighty on yourself. Because you may get the money, but you're not going to get the blessing. And money's nothing without the blessing. So I'm hesitant on that because I know, you know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And so there are times, but follow the Holy Ghost. He'll help us in every situation. But let's go to Genesis 39. I got to get going. It says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him off the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 3, right there, that's the example. Others will see God on you when you go into a place and you serve him faithfully. They'll see God on you. They'll take note of it, and they'll increase you and promote you because of it. It's not just God that's doing it. You're getting rewarded because of your actions, but your actions are in line with the scriptures, and so they're able to see something that's worth promoting. Does that make sense? It's not just God doing it. It's you doing it because you're doing what the Bible says to do. God will put us in position for increase. But I love this. His master saw that the Lord was with him. Think about that for a second. Saw, right? His master didn't hear about the Lord being with him. I've seen so many Christians that go into their workplace and they say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I got Jesus. Look at me. Look at me. You need Jesus too. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And they go before and they think they're doing a great and mighty work preaching the gospel. First of all, when you're at work, you're there to work, right? Your boss isn't paying you to be an evangelist. If you want to be an evangelist, go into the ministry, believe God for money. If you're at work getting paid by your boss, you're there to do what your boss has told you to do. But aside from that, if your life is not going to be an example of a faithful servant, then shut up, right? I hope you still love me after this. Maybe you won't. Maybe it's my last time at Family Church South Dayton. I don't know. But there is nothing worse than a hypocrite Christian. Why do you think the world has such a twisted view of Christians? Because there are so many out there that go out there professing Jesus, saying he's great, he's wonderful, you should be a Christian too. Then they're 15 minutes late, they leave early, they take longer lunches than they're supposed to, they don't get the job done that they're supposed to get done, they lie, they gossip, they do things worse than the world. If we're going to be faithful servants and be a light and example to others, then we've got to be better than what the world is, right? So that means just keep your mouth shut. I don't go around, I don't evangelize in the workplace. If somebody asks me, so be it. I'll say, yeah, you know, I'm a pastor, you know, and then they'll be like, really? And then I get an opportunity to share the gospel with them, and I'm thankful for it. But I don't go around broadcasting. I let my actions speak for themselves. Jesus told his disciples, let what you do be the fruit. Your fruit will be the tree that others see. I don't know that exact scripture. You probably do. Praise the Lord. You can tell me later. All right. Verse 4, what happened here? Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house and over all that he had put into his hand. So Joseph was in a pretty lousy situation. He'd been sold into slavery. He'd been brought into a place that, you know, if anybody would have an opportunity to be offended at God, here's a chance to do it. But he still chose to serve faithfully. He still chose to show up at his job, to show up serving his master with that attitude of, I'll do whatever you need. I'll be faithful to do it. You can count on me. You ought to be the one that when the boss goes down the list of people he can call to get a job done, he knows it's you. Yeah. That when, you know, your name is on that list, yeah, I know he can get the job done if I call on him or her. And Joseph was that person. And because of it, he was promoted. And verse 5, let's just throw this in here for good measure. It came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. What a testimony to Potiphar. I bring this guy in that loves the Lord and suddenly my business is thriving, right? Wherever you might work, that place will prosper simply because you're there. That place will increase just because you're there. God will see to it. When you go, you bring the glory of God with you. And where the glory of God goes, there's increase, there's blessing, there's prosperity. So you bring that with you when you go. And you may think, well, yeah, but I don't want to make them rich. It's for you. It's for your benefit. Yeah. If your company increases, you increase, right? And if that's not the case, then God will make it up to you. You may think, well, my boss never gives me a raise. He doesn't do it. You know, how can I serve him faithfully? Trust God. Amen. Trust God. Amen. I've been in a place where there's been times that it would have been so easy to get offended, walk out the door, say, Lord, I don't need this. This is too much. But I stayed put. I stayed faithful. And God was able to bring us to a place and promote us through him, not through my own hand, but through him, because I served him faithfully. And that's not just for me. That qualifies for anybody. You know, I know I said I was going to close. Now I'm closing, right? That was like the pre-closing, right? Joseph, after this happened, if you know the story, he got into some trouble because Potiphar's wife got a little frisky, and then tried to blame Joseph for what had happened. And it was actually her fault. And at that point, Joseph would have had another opportunity to get offended. He's thrown in prison for something he did not do, for something he acted completely and totally honorably. But he was still thrown in prison. Would have been a good opportunity to get mad. Would have been a good opportunity to get offended, but he didn't. He stayed faithful to God. What happened? He was promoted in prison to being in charge of the other prisoners. I mean, promotion will chase you. You will laugh at the promotion that you say, really? Like, it'll blow your mind. When you serve and follow him, he's promoted in prison to be head of the prisoners. Then 2 years later, after he's in prison for this time, he was promoted in there. So then Pharaoh has a need. Ends up being Joseph is the guy to meet this need for Pharaoh. I'm paraphrasing the whole story really quick. Get a children's Bible and read it. And he goes before Pharaoh. And Pharaoh says, I need a man in whom the Spirit of God is. And Joseph was that man because he stayed faithful to the Lord. And what happened at that moment? He went from prison to second in command of all of Egypt instantly, just like that. You may be at a place where you think, this is good, but it's probably not going to work for me. I'm at such a low point. There's no way that God can, there's not really anywhere to go. You know, I don't know. There's nowhere to move up here. Things like that. Stay faithful to him. And then blessing will come, increase will come, and it'll just take you. You'll just be, wow. And then you'll look back and you'll say, Lord, you did this. This is incredible. God, you did this for me. Because we'll prove ourselves faithful. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord. So faithfulness is required of us. It's to be faithful in worship, faithful to show up to church with a supply of faith, and faithful to serve and show up to serve wherever capacity, be a servant to others, show up with faith when we do it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it was a help to us today, Lord. We're so thankful for opportunities to grow and to change to be more like you. And Lord, help us. Help us, Father, as we go throughout our week, as we go through every action, Father. Holy Spirit, remind us in ways that we can serve others. Remind us ways that we can be found faithful. Things that we do, the best ways to do them, Father. We trust you and thank you for the rewards that come from serving you the way that the Word says to. With heads bowed and eyes closed in here today, you know, we talked about being well-pleasing to the Lord. The first step to doing that is becoming a child of God. And I don't know everyone here today, so I want to give the invitation. The reason that you can't be pleasing to the Lord if you're not his child is because it takes faith to become a child of God. You have to release faith to let Jesus be the Lord of your life. We do that with our words, with our heart. And so this morning I want to give an opportunity. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never been what the Bible calls born again, and that just means that you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. You trust that he went to the cross, that he died there for you, and that he rose again from the dead so that you could be saved. If that's you this morning, you want to make Jesus your Lord, you want to be born again, I invite you to raise your hand today. Praise the Lord. I don't see any hands for that. I want to give a second invitation if you're here. And you need to, what we call rededicate your life, but the Bible gives the example of the prodigal son, the child that was once a child of the father, but he had walked away. And he came back to his father, and his father didn't cast him aside, he didn't curse him, he didn't yell at him, but he welcomed him back in with open arms and blessed him. That's your Father God. If you've walked away from him, he wants you back in his family, and he's waiting there with open arms to welcome you in. So if you need to rededicate your life to him today, to walk back to him, this is your opportunity. Go ahead and raise your hand. Praise the Lord. I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God's so good. God's so good. What we're all going to do, heads bowed and eyes closed, is we're going to pray together as a family here today. We don't want anyone to feel singled out. But if you did raise your hand, and even if you didn't, I encourage you to pray this prayer from your heart. The Bible says it's out of our heart, released through our mouth, that confession is made unto salvation. And so it's not raising hands that gets us saved or welcomes us back. It's the act of faith to say, Lord, I'm coming back to you. So this morning we're all going to pray a prayer. Just attach your heart to it and say it by faith. Father God, I thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he died for me and rose again so that I could be saved. This morning, I certify that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Thank you, Father. I'm born again, and my life will never, ever be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Well, if you raised your hand or prayed that prayer, I encourage you, come back to church next week. Keep coming to church. You know, it's here that you were helped. It's here that God spoke to your heart. You know, you go to a hospital to get made well by doctors, right? We go to church to let God take care of us. And so at church, you'll be blessed, you'll be helped, you'll be increased, be more like Jesus, and your life will be better for it. And of course, thank you everyone for this morning. I enjoyed being with you all today. I hope nobody throws stones at me afterwards. But you know, I know I got some big size 16 feet up here, but I'm sorry if I stepped on your toes. But the word's good. It's a help to us, isn't it? And I want to just encourage you real quick, and then we'll go. I promise. In Revelation there, where he says to the Ephesians, and he corrects them for stepping out of faith in the time of worship, he said afterwards, repent. If you've done this, repent and go back to your first works. If you made the mistake and things got routine, work got routine and you stopped attaching faith to it, you maybe developed a lousy attitude, or coming to church just became another habit that you do or a thing to check off the list, just repent. That's all he says to do, repent, and he'll welcome us back with open arms, walk back into the same way that we were, and rekindle that love that you had when you first met him by spending time in his word. See that the things that you're doing are valuable to him. You know, when you go to work, read that Colossians 3:23, I'm going to work as unto the Lord today. Oh, qualify us for the blessings that he has. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I think there's some fellowship over in the old sanctuary. Did you like that? So, food, too. All right, so there's food and fellowship. Even better. All right, go ahead, be dismissed. Have a good week.